he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here, as always, by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. This is season 3, episode 31, I want to say.
Yeah. The inconsistency of our podcast is leading to...
It has, but life has been,
no idea.
Life's come at us fast.
It is, yeah.
So we've been busy, and my mum's being sick as well, so we couldn't do last week.
No, we will explain all
so
about our business ventures.
We will.
But before we start, ole, 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 ole.
Rory, 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 Tavi, Tavi. Sick, wasn't it?
I did not expect it. What a start by the lads.
Well, if anyone tuned into our last episode, they will know that I fully expected it because
you did.
I described the American team as a gang of crabs.
Yeah, and I did call the A-Berg show that, even though it wasn't
you called the Rory McIlroy A-Berg in the same team, that like that was just
yeah,
that was good, that to call that.
It was Hovland and A-Berg, wasn't it, in yeah, the end, but that's what I did.
But he's gone on as well, hasn't he? Like, as we come on to the Sanderson Farms, he's in a playoff again, he's won on the DP World Tour, he's blitzed the Ryder Cup, and he hasn't even played the major.
Well, that's it. You speak about these rises of different players, don't you, and what they're capable of and what they can do. You know, we mention it all the time, Scotty Scheffler, Matty Wolff when he came on, you know, Morikawa, John Rahm. Hovland obviously took a bit longer, but eventually got his wins and now he's gone on to do things. But like this A-Berg one, it's just world number one amateur, high expectations. Okay, you get it. You know, PJ Tour University rankings number one. So he gets his PJ Tour opportunities, gets a few top tens, then goes over to the DP World Tour, gets his win, secures his place on the Ryder Cup. Kick some ass on the Ryder Cup and then obviously nearly wins on the PJ Tour the following week. It's just like the traveling he's doing as well. And he's just so equipped for it all. And he's so ready for it. It's just.
And he's 23 as well. Like it's
phenomenal, honestly.
The only one little kink was the final round at Wentworth, like shooting five over and or four over, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And like that was fully expected him to just go out and shoot 500 and just take that place apart. And he faltered a little bit, but weather was bad, and you like.
You've got to give them. Wentworth's not easy, is it?
No.
You know, it's a tough track, and when you're being chased by,
it's not even easy to walk around that place.
I don't know. When you're being chased by the best players in the world from a European perspective, every Ryder Cup player was there, weren't they? And they were at one stage all in the top 10.
No, it was quality.
Do you want to talk about the Ryder Cup then to get us started? Because obviously
it's been a couple of weeks. It's obviously your birdie, is it?
Yeah, of course. Luke Donald's my birdie, just the way he approached everything and the parents and how everything went. I just think he got it spot on. But first of all, before we go into Europe, and we will obviously...
Do you want to just do the birdie bogey bus now in words and then we'll go into the show?
Yeah, let's go.
Go on then. It's that time again, is it?
Let's go.
It's that time again, y'all.
The birdie bogey bus, the birdie bogey bus, birdie bogey bus.
So yeah, I think... Birdie then, yeah. Luke Donald, I think he got everything right. You know, the way he represented Europe, the way he spoke, the pairings, the order, you know, going down, even to the singles, the order that he put them out in.
Yeah.
You know, getting strong, then obviously having some rookies in the middle, then keeping the likes of Tommy and a bit of strength and experience towards the end as well. I just think, yeah, everything, there was a lot of pressure off him going into the singles because of the demanding lead that they had, but you'd always think a miracle in Maidana wasn't as big of a gap. But when you start seeing them reds on the board, there's a bit of pressure.
Anything
so it could
happen,
have happened.
Can't it?
There's 12 points to play for, you know what I mean?
So my bird is obviously Europe winning the Ryder Cup, which is amazing. But what come after it, like, which is really should be me bust, but two lads from around here,
oh yeah,
like they went out to the Ryder Cup, like end up getting a last minute cancellation on like the 10th fairway so they could see out the room all the stuff that's going on, and they were messaging me saying come over, get a flight, come and stay, and like you can stay here. And then after the
what you were thinking of not going over,
I don't know what happened, it all just came a bit fast, and it was all like And then next minute, they're on walking the fairways on the Friday, and with Rory McIlroy, Peter Jones off Dragon's Den, just inside the ropes. Then they're in the clubhouse, floating about, and how they got in there. And then next minute, like, John Rahm's just like spraying him in the face with champagne. And
I see in the videos, McIntyre, yeah.
That was, yeah,
Matthew, Hovland as well.
Yeah, Matthew and Elliot from around here, literally Hovland, spraying Hovland on all the golf channels. And then he was on the balcony getting Robert McIntyre tipping champagne off the top of the balcony to his mouth. Like, it was you couldn't.
What an experience that is, eh?
I was saying to him, I was like, if you had 100 trillion, you can't even pay for that experience.
No.
And there's no money that can buy it.
For him to be in the exact spot that they're going to be at, and then for them to be so involved, because they could have just stayed on the balcony, couldn't they?
Yeah,
to come down, get involved.
But even Hovland, like, laughing his head off when he was playing, but yeah, Rahm so coming sick out, like, and then he's nailing it, and then Rahm give him the champagne bottle as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. How good was it as well? The on the interaction with the fans that up the toffees.
Oh, brilliant.
Finno
that
and
was that was Greg's mate, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some lads from the match were in it, yeah.
Great, that. It just seemed like a boss atmosphere, obviously.
I think the start that we got off to 4-0, you know, the crowds always turn up on that first tee, don't they? You know, like, doing what they do, getting them ready. And it goes to show, I can't remember what the statistic was, because it was a couple of weeks ago now, but there was a statistic about how fast Europe started and how slow America did.
Right.
And that was telling, because, you know, you could feel the nerves. It must be quite intimidating going onto that first tee, being booed, and, you know,
oh, all of course,
the
it's like playing at home, isn't it? Versus,
exactly.
Versus playing away,
like
it's
the 13th
football, yeah,
the 13th man, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, I think everything about the week was unbelievable. That's why my birdie was obviously Luke Donald takes the plaudits, but ultimately, you look at them 12 players, and like Robert McIntyre got 2.5 points. Didn't expect. Was it 2.5?
Yeah, I think so.
2.5 points. Yeah, didn't expect that. Obviously Rory, and we'll come on to the game that he lost in a minute with the big kickoff on 18 with Joe LaCava, but Rory playing as well as he did and even getting emotional, because when you consider what we went through at Whistling Straits and how embarrassing it was to actually turn it round with a totally new team, because ultimately we went in there with some expectations because we were at home, because there was a bit of youth in there. Everyone seemed to be playing well leading up to it.
Yeah.
But ultimately that American team is always stronger on paper.
Oh, of course, yeah. Like they had every single one of them was inside the world top 20, wasn't it? So
yeah, exactly.
You can't, they're no crabs, are they?
Well, it's two major champions this year, Brian Harman and Wyndham Clark, who on paper you would look and say they're probably the weak links, but
Brooks
they won
as well.
Major championships. Oh yeah, three, yeah. Brooks won the major as well, so I just don't.
All of them? All major champions?
No, Max Holm was not a major.
No, all four majors that year.
Well, John Rahm won the Masters.
Oh, John Rahm. I'm thinking Scotty Scheffler. We still had the Masters.
Was,
well, he had three of the four Masters. What, like majors? It's like. It's,
well, that's
true.
So there's always the. And seeing how dominant they were, you'd always had in the back of your mind, if the Americans were ever going to win on European soil, this was the chance.
Yeah.
That leads
I
me
just
on
think,
to me.
Well, say, but your bogeys.
That leads me
Zach
on to
Johnson.
Me bogey. Not, no, Zach Johnson's me bust. Me bogey is, I think the Americans took the foot off the gas just with how little he played leading up to it. I know they had the long season, the FedEx, but the majority of the players in the European team played FedEx as well. And
I
they
think
carried
yeah,
on playing
that,
leading
that's my
him.
Bogey as well. But my bogey is just Zach Johnson as a captain. Like the pit, some of the picks that he made, like Justin Thomas, like should he have been there?
Well, Justin Thomas, should he have been there? No, I don't think he
should
have.
Should Bryson have been there?
Yeah, Sam Burns, it's clear to see he probably shouldn't have been there. I know he took Rory. To 17, was it on the singles? And you know, you can't count him out because he's still a world class player. But you've got players who are playing hot, Keegan Bradley playing unbelievable, Bryson DeChambeau playing unbelievable in the lead up to it. You
we,
know,
we picked on form,
yeah,
like and they didn't, and that was the difference.
The only one controversy that could have backfired on Team Europe was leaving out Adrian Meronk,
yeah.
But I think,
but it's not like he's come out the next couple of weeks and won or anything to like, I know he has had a great season and he probably, I was saying he should have been there ahead of Lowry, but having Lowry's presence and his, he was getting pumped up on the Sunday
yeah,
and stuff, it's
that's,
like
that's,
you
that's,
need that.
Yeah, like Lowry, Justin Rose, Nicolai Højgaard, any of them three to swap out for Adrian Meronk, you probably wouldn't argue
no
the case, but when you look at Justin Rose and obviously what McIntyre said after it, the way he was with him, because they had a great partnership, didn't he? You know, he was just saying, dig in, keep going, keep going. So that experience where if McIntyre, and that's where it goes back to Luke Donald and why the picks were so important. He's got them players playing together. Whereas you look on the American side, you know, he's playing foursomes, Brian Harman with Max Homer. So like Max Homer hits the ball so much further than Brian Harman. So Max Homer's not going to be used to going in to par fours with these certain clubs.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a totally changing his game.
Yeah.
And you're playing away from home. You want to put strength with strength. So yeah, I think the Americans probably took the foot off the gas. The only thing that does it light a fire in them for Bethpage now.
I don't think foot off the gas, I just think got it wrong.
Yeah, got it wrong. Yeah. Well,
I think
on paper,
I think he's going to go down as the worst Ryder Cup captain in history.
It's worst, definitely the worst start, wasn't it? That they had.
But even like the whole not playing, having 5 weeks off, that's bad captaincy error. A couple of bad picks, captaincy error.
Some of the players never even went over. You should have made it mandatory to go over. If you're
play
not,
the, play
if you're going to, if you're going to have 5 weeks off before, get them over 2 weeks before.
Yeah, like
put them up in a hotel,
it,
do a retreat.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
And also, not playing the course before, not going over to the Italian Open leading up to it. He's had 2 years to plan.
How do you expect it to win a Ryder Cup? When you know your history of going to Europe in Ryder Cups.
It's enough to make your heart go.
So, yeah, I think, Birdie, like you've said, you know, Team Europe, what they've done, dominated. And the bogey and bust was just a mix of, you know, Zach Johnson obviously being a poor captain. And then, obviously, the selections and things like that.
My bust was, where was Tiger?
I suppose it goes back to some of the controversy, doesn't it? Like, it could be the injury. And he's obviously just said
he's about now, a week after, hitting golf shots, which is top of the bill of news. But
I know, but
why isn't he there supporting the team? Like, why isn't he, like,
in the build up to it, though, he was, like, in the last 12 months, he's been nowhere to be seen, has he?
Yeah, so, but you need, if you want anyone in the dressing room, you want the GOAT, like.
Suppose, yeah.
In my eyes.
No, I agree, yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, there is one of the pieces of news that I've broke this week is that Davis Love thinks that for Bethpage, Tiger should be the captain.
Oh, they've got to bring him in?
You know, won the US Open at Bethpage in 2002. He's got history at that club. You know, he's captain of the President's Cup team, wasn't he, that won?
I mean, that's when, like 1,000,000%. Like, I think Tiger could, over the next, whatever Ryder Cup he wants to pick, he'll just be the captain. Fact.
Yeah.
There's no questions about it. That's why I can't believe that there's rumours of him talking about the next Ryder Cup when he wasn't in attendance at this one. It's mad.
Yeah, well, you don't know yet. It's up to the captain who he chooses as his vices. And, you know, is it a relationship thing between them two? Or is it the fact that because Tiger couldn't make the commitment because of his injury, he decided to leave him out? Tiger might have said, leave me out on this one. You just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But I agree, if Tiger's available, he should be part of that dressing room.
Should be around, definitely.
And that goes on to more pieces of news that have come out of it. And obviously, we'll talk about some of the controversy. You've got, first of all, Hackgate scandal.
What's he up to, him?
Cantley's come out and said there hasn't been one word of a split all week. The US team has been close all week. It's just outright lies. Not a shred of truth in the article that just one journalist wrote. It's crazy that one journalist can put a tweet out there totally unfounded with complete lies. He then goes on to say, it just didn't fit. I didn't wear it at Whistling Straits because the hat just doesn't fit. That's really all it is. So he's saying that it doesn't fit and there was no issues. He's going to say that, isn't he, if he's getting called out as being somebody who's causing the rift.
Well, he was saying that he's not wearing it because he's not getting paid and all that sort of stuff.
Well, that was on
it?
The Friday, on the first tee. He went, I'll wear a hat when I'm paid like he is. And he was referring to some PGA guy. It was there.
Yeah, when I'm paid like he is, if saying like he gets loads of money, but he's not asking to be paid. That's just out of context, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is it, and this, I think that's where it all stems from. I don't, you know, a lot of stuff comes online, and
it's just people just do things for clicks these days, aren't they?
Yeah, it's
how did Bones get himself in the mix
with the was the Joe LaCarver thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, but why was Rory kicking off on him?
I don't think he was kicking off on him. I think he was just like telling them that it was bang out of order and Bones was trying to calm things down.
Yeah, because the LaCarver thing, what do you make of that?
I think he's obviously got it wrong, LaCarver, hasn't he?
What, getting in the way?
I just don't, what's the point? Like, what do you need to be there for?
I know, yeah, it was a bit bad, wasn't it?
Like, it goes back to this Hackgate scandal. They're all taking the hat, like, everyone, the European fans are winding Cantley up all day, taking the hat off. You know, Team Europe are 1-0 up with 2 to play. And then Team America win 17. Cantley holds that major putt on 18. And it's like,
get your hats off.
They're getting battered in the match.
Yeah.
And like, so he's giving it back to them.
That's
and
it. Yeah.
I agree that the carver should be giving it back to the fans and going back and forth. That's all in good fun. But you can't walk over to somebody who's got a putt to half the match in a Ryder Cup on the 18th while it's still on and stand by him when he's trying to read his putt.
No, it was bad.
But like, I think Le Carver's taking
funny
a minute.
Though,
yeah, it was fucking great, yeah. But it adds to the drama, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I think Le Carver's obviously took a night and to realise, and he come out and said that he respects all the fans and yeah, I think
the standard thing you have to do when you're a knob.
Rory said that he texted him and I think he knows that Le Carver's made a mistake. He said it still hurts him, but you know, I think he's known Joe Le Carver for a while, hasn't he? Being on tour and being Tiger's caddy and stuff. So it's all forgotten about. I think it would have been different if the Europeans would have lost. I don't think Rory would have let it go. But I think the fact that they've won, it's a easier pill to swallow, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, in other little news there, Pat Perez's wife Ashley come out saying, I wish that I'd went further with Bones. I'd love to see Rory be punched in the face. What's she getting involved for?
Pat Perez with Liv and all the Liv stuff that Rory said's probably got, that's the context behind that, you'd imagine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know why she's getting involved, like, but on the Tiger Woods stuff though, we mentioned before, he's back on screen hitting some shots
in a few little chippy ones,
out of Pebble Beach. Yeah, there was a video of him hitting that little chippy shot on Pebble Beach, and then he was out with Charlie playing the par three course, the new par three course.
That just sets fuel to the fire of the rumour mill, doesn't it?
It does.
Masters, 16 majors, all the rest of the nonsense that comes with it.
Well, yeah, because if you look at years gone by, it's around this time he starts hitting shots, and then he plays the PNC, and then he's back in the Masters.
Yeah,
you know, he's had a full year out. He's done what he needed to do from a rehab perspective now, and he's back hitting balls. So we won't truly know how fit he is while he's walking. If he plays PNC, Zozo will be interesting because he hosts Zozo, doesn't he? So it'd be interesting in a couple of weeks' time when the Zozo, whether he's going to get out and play it there.
Yeah, definitely.
Whether he does, we have no idea. I think if it's fitness.
I'd say the PNC, your little hit and giggle one, and then gear up for the Masters, I think.
Yeah.
That's the general consensus.
You just want him at the majors, don't you? Even if you play four times a year, all majors, and made the cut, and we got a bit excited about him being in the top 10 going into a Sunday, that's all you're after. Yeah. You know, he's not going to play a full season.
I know, it'd be nice to see him. And he had a few little mad ones, wouldn't it? Like little Riviera one or something like that.
But obviously, before we move on to anything else, we've obviously got to talk about the way it was won. Obviously, local lads, Tommy Fleetwood, Finno.
That drive was that was just unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like when you watch it back and you actually study it closely, like it when it lands on the green and goes to like the back edge and then just comes around perfectly pin eye.
Yeah.
Like
load, like Sam Burns a couple of groups before at the same shot, and it just tipped over the edge and obviously went down the back of the green. It's a difficult chip from downhill towards the water. Yeah. So there's no guarantees there. But I think for Tommy, given the season he's had, I know he's not won in America, but given the season he's had, his best ever season in the FedEx.
Yeah.
One of the more experienced players on Team Europe now. All the other guys have gone, like Garcia and Poulter and them. You'd expect the likes of him, Rahm, Rory to leave from the front, don't you? And he's certainly done that, yeah.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, it was unbelievable to see him winning. I think they had a little bit of a banter, didn't they, on the in the news conference I watched at the end of it. Him and Shane was like, you know, I was looking and I seen that he got the putt, and I was hoping that we could have just finished that all a bit sooner. But then he said, because he'd won it, he knew it was over, and he secured half a point by halving 17, going one up, going down the last, didn't he, Shane Lowry?
Yeah, yeah. And he was like three down, wasn't he, at one point in Spieth, and then he's just come flying back.
And then he said, going down 18, he went, I just didn't care where the ball went, I was just party mode.
Exactly, though.
Yeah.
And it looks like they had a good old knees up after it as well, which is obviously as you'd expect.
As you'd expect, yeah.
They were all on the coach singing. It just looked like the place to be, didn't it?
Yeah. It's like you say, you know, you look at the Americans last year, like Xander Schauffele, cigar in mouth, and you know, all the lads having a bit of banter, and all the DJ and all that were there, where any DJ seems to be the party starter when it gets to stuff like that. But yeah, he would have been another one who would have been missed. I know he wasn't in the best of form, but same as us picking Justin Rose and Shane Lowry.
Yeah, a bit of experience.
You put a DJ
room,
in
yeah.
there, yeah. But no, overall, like Friday to Sunday, unbelievable, wasn't it?
That was amazing.
Didn't expect us to get off to the start that we did. I'm sure most people didn't, but unbelievable. When you're that far ahead, it does make the Sunday watch a little bit easier. But when I seen the Reds coming up, I was a bit nervous.
It's mad though, isn't it? The way Victor Hovland went from like an all right player winning every now and again with a short game being average to like chipping in off the green in the Ryder Cup, like, and then chipping in. I think he chipped in three times.
Well, let's talk about that. The chip-ins on the first day, it was just like John Rahm chipped in for John Rahm, finished eagle, birdie, eagle.
Exactly.
Chipped in for eagle on 15, then made the birdie on a two on the 17th, and then that putt he held on 18.
It's unbelievable
to take
it?
The win.
But then McIlroy and Tommy as well. I think they had like three eagles on the back nine or something on when they were paired up. Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. Like everything was just
Fleetwood
the putt.
Mac.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
That's what they were getting called.
I've never heard that.
Didn't you?
No.
That was the new Mollywood. Is Fleetwood Mac? Fleetwood Mac's the new one. Yeah.
I think. Call them Fleetleroy.
Fleetleroy. McIlwood. Oh yeah, but it was just start to finish. It was just a great watch, wasn't it? Like, I know it was a couple of weeks ago now. We couldn't do last week, but it was just brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's, you know, that type of stuff is what grows the game. You know, if you could do that a bit more, I know every 2 years is part of the
history.
Reason it's so good. But I don't know. I just think,
and it'd be boss if there's another one coming up next year.
Yeah,
I have it
home away every year.
Yeah,
it's pretty sick, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Ryder Cup. Yeah,
no, we should start a petition for that.
Get it on every year,
definitely.
Yeah, right then. Before we move on to talking golf and obviously everything else, shall we talk rewards?
Yeah, let's have a talk about the appearing rewards. It's been going well.
It has. Yeah,
I've.
Do you want to give people a bit of an insight about what the appearing rewards is for anyone that doesn't know?
Yeah, so basically the Appearing Rewards is a scheme which is hosted by Exclusive Rewards, or it's like a cashback scheme where you can go on and it's usually $19.99 a year, but for everyone that buys Appearing clothing, we give out the code and you can receive cashback from over 4,000 retailers. We've got Booking.com, LastMinute.com, there's a couple of, like, there's Domino's Pizza, JD. But to say, I went on and bought some trainees last week and got like £9 cash back. Bought a Domino's, got £3, and it's just starting to add up. So,
how much are you spending in Domino's?
Just bought a little solo deal for one, didn't I? But it's just good that, like,
it's free money, basically.
It's
isn't
free
it?
Money, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stuff you're going to buy anyway. So, you might as well buy it through a cashback scheme and start building things up. It's like a little savings account.
Yeah, in addition to that as well, we've got the golf rewards. There's a golf rewards section which forms part of the wider Exclusive Rewards platform. So any golf clubs out there who'd be interested in that, it's a really good benefit for your members. So there's a monthly cost to that. We can discuss that as and when, but what you get off the back of that is you get the opportunity to give it out to your members as a benefit, but also it allows any of your members who own their own businesses to advertise on the platform, and they can also use that to give as an employee benefit to their staff. So for that one fee that the club would pay monthly, it gives that benefit to their staff to obviously boost their business as well.
Yeah, and then as you said, then anyone that puts deals on in the local area, anyone that's attached to like the Appearing Rewards, so if a golf club in the Northwest does it and sees someone at that golf course, all the golf course can put their own like deals on, like if bed and breakfast or four balls or lessons or anything really.
You can advertise on yourself.
It's very versatile.
Yeah. It is, yeah. So obviously we've got our own Appearing Rewards platform. So if anybody's interested in listening to the podcast and supporting the podcast, wants to sign up to that, just let us know and we can send the link over and you'll save the $19.99.
Yes, you will.
It was.
Enjoyed that.
On the point of Appearing then, bit of an update on the Appearing Athletes then. starting over in South Africa, we hit the big time, didn't we?
We have had our first Sky Sports appearance. Appear on appearance,
yeah.
Gerard Tristan out there.
Yeah, finished birdie on the final day, on the third day, sorry, going into the final day at 4 under. Finished tied 12th in the end, just outside the top 10, but a really good performance for him.
No, quality. It was just bossy, and like when he held the putt and it went zoomed in a bit closer and you could fully see the appear on and yeah. You could like see the top and...
Yeah,
it just shows the growth that we've come a long way.
Yeah, and then really. There's Jax de Villiers as well.
Yeah,
he finished fourth this week on the tour. Obviously, we haven't been able to get the clothing over to him yet, but he's really excited.
Well, we went missing in MIA.
I know, but we've been speaking to him on a regular basis. He's excited to get it, and you got I think another 6 or 7 events on the Sunshine Tour still this year, so. There's also the Nedbank, which is coming up.
And there's a couple more co-sanctioned as well, isn't there, with the DP?
Yeah, that's
at the start of the year.
Start of the year, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
And they do some with the Challenge Tour as well.
Mega.
So, yeah, just as part of obviously what we're trying to do and what we're trying to achieve. I know we speak about it all the time, but, you know, the podcast journey has learned us that, you know, the golf journey is not easy. No. So, we want to try and do our best to give something to the players that we support to make it a little bit easier for them, if financially with clothing, you know, as we grow, they grow. So the way I see it, and I was speaking to you about this, Kev, wasn't I, the other day, the way that we want to incorporate the Appear and Athlete program is we want to be able to say to these players, look, you've proven yourself as a good ambassador to us. We want to support you. We want to see you do well. We want to reward that work ethic with like a 5-year deal. So you want to be saying to these players, look, you know, here's a 5-year deal. You're an Appear and Athlete now. We'll support you financially. We'll support you with clothing. Go out there and try and make it. No pressure. You know, and then there's added incentives. If you do well, you get an extra bit of funding for the following year. And the pool spreads between how you're performing, but ultimately you're going to get that 5-year spread.
Yeah, because as we've found this out through the professional route, like getting a year, it's your first year is finding your feet and learning how to travel, how to check into hotels, how to do all the rest of it, like airports. It sounds like it's a life of rally, but it's on that in the lower levels. It's not, is it? It's not all like private jets and top penthouses.
Well, it's a heavy expense, and then there's also you are getting an income if you're playing well, but that income's taxed. You know,
yeah.
You're self-employed. You've got to pay tax on that. You've got all your travel expenses and everything. And then obviously for those players who do get a 12-month deal or an 18-month deal or a 2-year deal, when that comes to an end, rather than working on the game and improving and trending in the right way, they have to go and get work and try and fund their
work
following
through
the winter,
seek new funding, host events, spot, like go not to the golf club for another whip round. Yeah. It's a hard market.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And obviously, the clothing speaks for itself. The feedback's been fantastic. Obviously, we continue to bring new clothing out because people are wanting more so, and we will continue to do that. But obviously, what people are really enjoying and understanding is every time that they do purchase from Appear on Clothing, they're not just getting themselves some clothing. There's a feel-good factor about potentially supporting the next generation in the UK.
That's it. Well, that's the whole ecosystem that we've tried to create, isn't it? Like, get the academy, which is we'll come on to in a second, train people up, get them as an athlete, support them with clothing and take them all the way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's another thing, the academy. We're close to getting the academy on the Appear on Clothing website now, aren't we?
Yeah, that's it. We're looking at a few different products on Shopify, and you can actually add services. So we're going to get it all online so people can pick. We're going to try and run multiple per month so people can go on and pick a time slot, book in online, pick your shirt size, pick your colour, then we'll bring it down, meet them at the range, introduce them to Dan, and they'll get the 6-week training.
Yes.
And we're going to work like that.
Well, that's it. Yeah, and Dan Croft, who's the head pro of the Appearing Academy now, you know, he's fully invested, is loving, you know, getting these people in and teaching them and seeing them improve. And it is clear we attend the days, don't we, sometimes? Yeah. And it's clear the improvements that you see out of them, isn't it? You know,
1,000,000%.
I've got a couple of close friends who are just starting to get into the game now, just bought, buying a set starting at the very beginning, and they keep saying to me, well, let's go once a week, let's go once a week, but sometimes life gets away from you. I mean, we're struggling to even do a podcast once a week, never mind, got the driving range. So, you know, life does get ahead of you when you're busy and you've got things to do, families, etc., whatever else comes in life. But the good thing about the 6 week golf academy is that it's structured once a week, every week, where you're hitting a minimum of 100 balls and you're being coached to progress a certain way. So, you know, obviously we can't guarantee nothing. It's down to the players to put the effort in. But what we can do is we can give a foundation for them to go and improve. And the lads who are just starting have said that they'll get involved, and it's guaranteeing them they'll go on the range at least once a week, hitting balls, getting better. And through the winter, that's important, isn't it?
And it's like when you go, like, you could, anyone can walk outside the door and go for a run. Like, that's not, it's not hard. But because you don't pay for it and you're not bothered, like, you don't really go. But if you pay for a PT or the gym, you're more likely to go because you've invested in it.
Yeah.
And, like, you've got other people around you. Like, there's eight lads there all meeting up on a Tuesday, having a chat, getting in there, having the lesson, hitting balls, improving, and then they go away and they've got something to work on specifically for the week instead of, obviously, you can go to the range or, like, you could take your mates and show them this and that, but Dan's going to show them a lot better.
Yeah, they don't want to be swinging it like me.
No, exactly, yeah. you can be the what not to do.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. The other thing as well that matches what we're trying to do with golf and make it affordable is the price that we're doing it for. You know, you're getting, essentially, you're getting 600 balls over 6 weeks, 6-hour-long coaching sessions, a polo from a peer on for £150.
Yeah, no, it's a good deal.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's a good deal.
That's what you think, yeah.
That's what I think.
Obviously, we're going to say that, but if you know anyone that wants to get into golf, or anyone listening knows anyone that wants to improve over the winter, just hit us on the DMs and we will send you the link.
Yeah, or alternatively, by the time you listen to this podcast, if you go on to our website, there'll be a section on there where you can sign up, and obviously we'll be able to send out all the information on an email to book you in a slot. So yeah, hit us up, man.
Yeah, man. So back to life, back to reality, actual bit of golf that's been going on in the world.
Yeah, a couple of events. Obviously, we mentioned them a bit earlier about his Ryder Cup performances, but Ludwig, I used to call him A-Berg, but then on the telly they called him a bear or O-Bear. Yeah.
O-Bear.
He's A-Berg to me. A-Berg, Ludwig, yeah. A-Berg.
Yeah.
What about him?
What about him?
Just at it again, wasn't he?
Do you know what? It was a day of maybes when I was looking. I didn't actually catch much of the Sanderson Farms because I just didn't watch it.
But honesty, like, is the best policy.
Mark Hubbard missed out on the win, finishing bogey bogey after getting to 19 under, and he had the back nine of 3 birdies and an eagle. So he missed out, and he ended up missing out on the playoff by one. That Carl Jan also missed out on the playoff after an eagle on 17, eagle 2, and then bogeyed 18, and then Ben Griffin finished bogey par bogey to make the playoff, and then Norlander bogeyed 14 and 16 to be in the playoff. So, like, everyone, like, it could have been won by anybody.
Yeah, and that was a five players in the playoff in the end, wasn't
five
it?
Five man playoff, yeah.
Yeah, and then a 45 footer from Luke List to close it out.
$936 put.
Yeah. Do you know what? What do you think of this FedEx fall season? Because obviously it's from 51 in the FedEx right down to 200, isn't it? And then the top 125 get the card. So the sort of these guys are all playing for the PGA Tour card for next season. Obviously, albeit in tier two, they're not going to make the elevated events to start with. But
I just think it's necessary to restart the shake-up of the calendar year start.
Yeah.
So it'll start fresh from Jan. You'll know where you're at with your 125. You know where your extras are. You know where everyone's at. There'll be two tiers.
But you've just mentioned there about not watching it. Like, is it because the superstars weren't on?
Well, yeah.
Is it? So do we not run the
risk? To be honest, the Dunhill was on, and like on the Thursday, Friday, Everton was Saturday.
Do we not run the risk, though, of this being the norm for the tier two golf events with maybe the additional one or two extras,
yeah,
all the others? So, you know, from an entertainment factor, no disrespect to these guys, but they're not the showstoppers that we want to watch week in, week out. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, what we're watching now on the PGA Tour FedEx Fall. I think there's 6 or 7 events to go. Is that going to be like the norm for tier two on the PGA Tour next year? Obviously, with the additional.
Is it being branded tier two, or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying that, but yeah. It is tier two.
No, it is definitely like, I just didn't know if it actually being like called that.
No, that's my name for it. But it is though, isn't it? Because you've got elevated events. If you're going to put 70 players.
I mean, it'll be on in the background. I've just been a bit hooked on the Equalizer at the minute. I've just watched the first one, then watched the next one, then I watched the third one.
Yeah. No, but that's all I'm thinking. You know, you've potentially got, you definitely got the 10 players who are going to get PGA Tour cards from the DP World Tour, haven't you? You're going to get the Korn Ferry players, I think it's 25 or 30 cards from there. You're potentially going to get some PGA Tour University players who might turn pro who are going to enter at that stage. And then you're going to get the ones who are playing this week. And as a product, unless you're going to get some of the elevated players filtering down into those tournaments and playing a bit more, you are diluting the product, aren't you?
It's like 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
1,000,000%. So we'll just have to sort of see how it goes and see what the viewing's like. But like, who's bringing the numbers? Like, what player? Aberg maybe could have brought a few.
Yeah. Like, but the Aberg, on that point, you know, he's currently 79th in the world. Aberg. So, you know, he's got an opportunity to get into the elevated events through his world ranking.
There you go. But I mean, like, who could have brought the fire to this week?
Yeah, well, that's it. Aberg's the man that you're looking for now, and he's hot off the press. He's the most informed player.
Like Tommy and Fitzpatrick have stayed this side of the pond.
Yeah, well, John Rahm's playing in Spain this week, isn't he?
John Rahm's playing in Spain, like,
to defend his title. So
it's...
I know you're not going to get them to play every week, but surely...
The DP World Tour, though, isn't it? Like, you watch it more when there's bigger players there.
Of course
there.
You do.
You watch the PGA Tour, the elevated events, when all the big boys are there. You obviously watch the majors.
Yeah,
but and there's... then the other events just make up the numbers, really, don't they?
Suppose, yeah. I don't know, it was just a thought.
No, it's right. It's how they've done it now. Like, that's it now.
Yeah.
They've done it.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how it unfolds next year and how many players out of the elevated
nice
events.
If a new superstar comes from it, though. Like, say, someone comes from the Korn Ferry, wins, like, 3 of the events, gets into the elevated events and has a hell of a season, and next minute he's the next Victor Hovland.
Yeah.
Wins the whole lot.
You never know.
Like, you just don't know. So, someone will make a bit of noise and bring a bit of more attention to it, but, like, until then.
Yeah. Well, that's, I'd say, there's 6 or 7 events to go. Aberg has moved from outside the
Mule
top
Slayers,
one.
Yeah.
Aberg's moved up from 136 to 113 now, so he's inside the one top 125 currently. He's 79th in the world rankings. His target's got to be top 50 by the end of the year to try and get in the Masters, has it?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
That's what he'll be aiming for.
Can you get an invite to that or no? It's got to be...
To the Masters? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get an invite to the Masters.
Yeah, you'll get one then, won't you?
Check him.
Yes. It's hottest property in golf, isn't he, at the minute?
Yes, yeah.
Everyone wants him everywhere.
What's mean? Aberg making his debut at the Masters, Tiger potentially returning. It's exciting.
They'll play together then.
Yeah, that'd be
Mark
sick.
My words, 9th of October.
They will play together. But no, I'm similar to you. I don't get too excited over the fall events, to be honest. I never used to when the season finished, when the FedEx season is sort of, and obviously, when you consider the Ryder Cup that we had.
Yeah.
Needed a break, to be honest.
And that was heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you mentioned there, Dunhill Links.
Yeah. Absolute whitewash. Washout.
Honestly, washout.
See the fella going past in the surfboard in the canal?
No, I didn't. You know, you mentioned that. Yeah, I didn't see it, no.
So someone's video, and then this guy in a wetsuit on a surfboard goes swimming down the burn in front of the 18th. Fast as well.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they played it today and finished it. Matt Fitzpatrick won. I only caught bits of it, but I seen someone post on Instagram, I can't remember who it was, and it was a picture of Carnoustie still flooded, saying, "Can't believe we played today." But I'm not sure whether that was a picture from when it was flooding, it's dried out, but surely they wouldn't have let it carry on if there were still puddles on the... I mean, I'm not saying a puddle, it was like a lake.
Yeah, I've seen them pictures. It does look heavy. I think that was over the weekend. I don't think that was...
That wasn't. It's all dried out.
I think so.
It's dried out fairly quick, that, hasn't it?
Yeah, but they get the squeegees now, don't they?
Yeah.
So they're not relying on the old current bun there. Like, they get a bit of manual labour involved.
That Fitzpatrick again just turned up winning tournament. He's just, that's in his ninth win now on the TP World Tour now, yeah.
Yeah, does he class that as a win, does he? Even though it's like we've legged the day.
His mum certainly will be. They won the team one, yeah.
Oh, his mum had one of the shots of the season. I've seen it off this big uphill lie there. And she's hit it sideways onto the top of the hill and she just walks off laughing and Matt has to go and get the ball. But it's good the way they were all out there. It's possible to see like Gareth Bale getting involved. He had a good show and Bill Murray's on the telly, like having a laugh and all that. It's a boss little event.
It is a boss week, and the players love it as well. You know, when you read between the lines on Twitter and what they're saying, and you can even see it went out how much fun they're having on the course, can't you?
That's it, because it's a fun event, isn't it?
Yeah.
I backed Tommy to win that this week, but he didn't do too good.
No. Robbie McIntyre had a good final round. I think he finished 7 or 8 under for his final round.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching most of it, and then obviously we went up to Blackpool today, didn't we? So
yeah.
I missed the end of it, but Matt Fitzpatrick, ninth win.
Done,
but
Matt.
Going on the DP World Tour, like I mentioned there, A-Big, he's 51st in the DP World Tour standings, obviously, because he's already won the DP World Tour this year. That gets him in the DP World Tour Championships, doesn't it? Or do you have to finish top 70?
I'm not too sure what weight a win carries on the DP World. I'd have to Google that.
Yeah, because I know it outside the top 60 at the moment is Matt Baldwin and Todd Clements from English players. Right. And they've both
won.
You'd
like to think you get in.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think that we'd know the answer to that information, really. But
well, there's four events to go, two in Spain, one in Qatar, and then the one in South Africa. That's your last opportunity to get in there. I had a little look at the standings. Rich Mantle and Paul Waring are going to need strong finishes there, just outside the top 100 on the DP World Tour standings currently. So I think they've got it in them to give it a go. I think Paul Waring shot 8 under today.
I think they'll need a W.
Do you think so?
I reckon.
A couple of top 20s, get them in. Not enough points to play for.
Not enough, because you've got everyone ahead of you playing as well still, aren't they?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, something that we'll keep an eye on.
Ryan Fox had another good show, and didn't he come second?
Yeah.
Which is
defending champ, wasn't he?
Yeah. Which he's just been fantastic, hasn't he? Like,
just continues to showcase his...
Can't believe he didn't get a Ryder Cup pick.
Can't believe he never got a President's Cup pick. We were kicking off over that, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, right then. What do you want to go first? The Shriners Children's Open?
No, we'll go to Madrid, eh?
Yeah, okay. John Rahm returning to a defend.
It is, yeah. The Club de Campo Villa de Madrid.
Yeah.
It looks very... What's that course with all them trees?
Villa... Victoria?
No.
It begins with V?
Yeah.
The old course?
No.
It is the old course?
It's not. That's Portugal.
That's what I thought you meant.
No, Valderrama. That's it.
Yeah.
Looks very Valderrama-ish.
Oh, it's meant to be tough Valderrama, isn't it?
7,112 yards.
Yeah.
Matt Fitzpatrick just straight back at it again. Bang, bang.
Is Matt playing?
Yeah.
I thought it was Alex that was playing.
I think Alex might be playing as well.
But Matt Fitzpatrick's not playing.
Are you sure?
1,000,000%.
Goes to the very top of the list.
That's Alex.
Alex Fitzpatrick. It's because it says Fitzpatrick Alex.
Yeah.
What's he doing all the way at the top?
So that's because he gets a start because he's the highest ranked Challenge Tour member entering the tournament. That's not
I thought
exempt.
That was like last week's winner. That
he just didn't need it.
Why is he at the top? Like,
you just glassed you at Fitzpatrick.
I just seen Fitzpatrick. Playing, yeah.
No, John Rahm, other than that, it's just the usual suspects, yeah.
Mule party,
yeah. Yeah, no, obviously Justin Rose is playing, actually. So, Justin Rose and John Rahm making their first tournament back since the Ryder Cup.
It's good seeing John Rahm over supporting the DP World Tour, obviously, because it's in his home country. But
he normally plays these events, doesn't he?
Yeah, a bit of a shocker, didn't he, last year on these couple of events?
Well, he won this one.
No, what the one before then?
Yeah,
the one at Valderrama, the other bear, didn't he?
Yeah. Shot like 7 over, didn't he?
So if he wins this, he goes ahead of Seve as the he's only behind another Spanish guy, which I can't remember. He's got 5 Spanish Open titles. Rahm will have 4.
Well, he's won 3 of the last 4, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he'll have 4.
The last 4 winners have been Spanish as well. Rafael Cabrera Bayer won it the year before last.
Yeah, so you'd have your money on John Rahm, wouldn't you, this week?
Yeah, 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Take out all the mules. Mule Slayer.
Oh, brilliant.
Right then, Shriners Children's Open then, bit of history.
Yeah, we've got Lexi Thompson teeing it up.
Yeah, interesting one. Do we know why?
Not a clue.
No.
But she joins a list of Babe Dickinson Zaradinas, who's played 7 times, Shirley Spork, who's played once, Annika Sorenstam, who's played once, Susie Wally, who's played once, Michelle Wee West, who's played 8 times, and Brittany Lincoln, who has played, I don't have that number, once.
Yeah, she gets a sponsor's exemption, doesn't she? So she's been invited by the sponsors to play. But yeah, I think if you look at the field again, it's a very weakened field, isn't it? Obviously,
yeah, it will be.
Webb Simpson's playing, you know, decent. Ludvig Åberg, he's back in the field.
Åberg Rahm double is the bet, isn't it?
Oh yeah, 1,000,000%, yeah. But yeah, over to Las Vegas to play. Siwoo Kim's playing. Tom Kim's playing, actually. Yeah, so.
I don't know if I said this last week, but I seen someone tweet it saying they should have Solheim and the Ryder on the same venue at the same time.
No way.
Why?
Because
they've only got half the course. They don't need the full thing. They got more, like, there's only 4 matches going out in the morning. They've got the thing. Get them playing in 4 balls. Women against men, you know what I mean? It's like, it's coming. That is coming.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they need to be kept separate, mate.
Why, you're not for growing the women's game, are you? What's your problem?
No problem. I just think...
They got mixed events, yeah, but on the DP.
They both hold so much history.
No, I know they do.
Individually.
But so did the 2 different tours, yeah, but now they've merged them.
It's every 2 years. It's the Ryder Cup, it's the Solheim Cup. You know, it's, I don't know, the big build-up.
I get what you're saying, but I guarantee that will happen, I bet you.
Because it's the build-up to them as well, isn't it?
Well, yeah, build it up together.
Just don't see it, mate. I just think, again, I'm all for, like, mixing tournaments and events.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, growing the game. But just for me, I think the Solheim Cup stands alone as an unbelievable event, and the Ryder Cup stands alone as an unbelievable event. I don't think you need to...
Well, they have the junior together. That's where it come from, I think.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right, because, you know, you're not getting the mass fans coming in for that. But I don't know, I just think that they both hold a certain place where they should be the individual events, and there's not a need.
If you do it there, then you're doing it at all the majors, and you've got a big kerfuffle then.
I just think, and then what do you do about the tees? They're not going to go off the same tees, are they?
Yeah, I suppose. I reckon that will happen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know, because then, you know, say that the women go out first. Are you going to change the pin positions, or does the men watch the women play and then they get to see what the course is playing like? I don't know if that's got to do with anything, but...
I mean... Look at Charlie Hull hiding the pinchy from Rory.
No, just for me, it just...
I know what you're saying, the history, they all should be together, the 2 standalone events, that's all there, I do get it, but
they're gonna finish.
I just seen the tweet and thought, you know what, with the way things are going, I think that will happen.
Yeah, they're going to finish at the same time on the same day, you know. What if the Americans win one and the Europeans win the other?
I think that's across that bridge when they get there.
No, but you know, it's what happens.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
But then if imagine America, the women Americans are winning, and then the European men are winning, and it's in America, and then like the crowd, they all do the way around in Europe, and the crowd gets on the back, and then the men, and then all the men win all the way around. Like
what? are you on about?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, imagine.
Let's just leave it alone, eh?
No, I need to get that one out properly. Like, the momentum switch of a your equals playing well could make you play better in the afternoon.
Okay, so they motivate each other.
Yeah, so do you get what I'm saying now?
I know what you're saying now, yeah. I'm glad we covered that one off. Yeah, no, for me, I just don't think it's needed.
No, I know it's not needed, but I think it will happen.
There's other ways to grow the game than merging those two together, I think.
No, there is, of course. I was only messing with you. I just knew that it'd make you laugh.
Yeah. Right then, obviously, we've got an apology to make, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
We normally get to this part in the show when we do our picks, but yeah, for one reason or another, we've not been...
We've got a few developer issues with the site.
Yeah, we have. We tried to get smart with it. We tried to mix the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour together to make it a little bit better, and we've ruined it. But ultimately, it will be back.
It will.
For January. We're going to have to...
We're going to send a free gift card to everyone that was meant to sign up to play the fall season as a bit of compensation, and we'll get it right and ready for January.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we're looking on taking it off the paid platform as well. So anybody wants to participate in the game for the 2024 season, it'll be free to play. The platform is not yet developed or decided. Point system won't change. But you'll still have to try and beat me. I'd say me and Kev, but I always beat Kev, so...
Like, you're acting like you won, you come fifth or something.
Third?
I come fourth.
No, yeah, well, exactly.
I think it was only a point in it or something, wasn't it? 5 points in it?
Oh, come on.
God, you're literally sitting there like you've won the Prem.
Basically did. Yeah, our Prem.
Exactly, you did. Yeah. You did.
Right then, it's good to be back. Hopefully we'll continue these podcasts every
week.
We'll
get them out weekly because I enjoy
consistency
it.
Is key.
That's probably why I didn't watch the golf there. Yeah. You didn't do a pod last week. So if I don't do a pod sometimes, I don't even know that there's golf on sometimes. I'll just forget and I'll be like, oh my God, golf, yeah.
Forgot about that. Yeah. Right then, hope you've enjoyed the show and enjoy your golf. Enjoy if you're getting out there and playing. I know we've got a bit of nice weather this week, so I know I'm going to be playing on Friday, so I'll be back next week to report on.
I'm playing on Friday?
We're playing on Friday, yeah. Yeah.
Cheeky bastard.
And then next Wednesday, we're up a...
Downer.
Down at the Brabazon.
Yeah, that'd be good, that.
Right. On that note, enjoy your golf, and we'll see you all soon.
Ciao.
Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.